Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a government inspector just walking right into your warehouse.
Right, just strolling in.
Yeah, taking one look at an invoice and legally walking out with your entire inventory and like your accounting books.
It sounds wild, but in 1973 South Africa, that wasn't some hypothetical scenario. It was the actual law.
Exactly. So today we're doing a deep dive into the Hazardous Substances Act of 1973. The mission here is to figure out how governments legally define and, box in and control extreme physical dangers to protect the public.
Right, because you have to categorize the hazard before you can control it.
Exactly. The act breaks things down into four incredibly strict tiers. It's almost like threat levels in a video game. Groups I and two cover your toxic, corrosive, and flammable chemical.
Oh, the really nasty stuff.
Yeah. Then group three targets electronic products emitting radiation, and group five handles actual radioactive material.
What's fascinating here is that the structure goes far beyond just banning dangerous items. It engineers total life cycle control. The law actually treats different types of hazards with very specific regulatory tools based on how they exist in the real world.
Right, so they adjust the rules depending on the physical reality of the thing.
Exactly. So, like for Group I toxic substances, a business needed a specific license from the secretary just to sell them. But Group 3, which covers electronic products like X-ray machines, required a completely different approach.
Because you don't just accidentally spill an X-ray machine.
Right, you install it. So for those, you had to officially register your physical premises. The government didn't just need to know who was selling it, they needed to know exactly where the hazard lived and operated.
Okay, so the government defines what is dangerous, but once that's on paper, how do they actually track and enforce those definitions in the real world?
Well, that is where the inspectors come in.
Yeah, these guys are basically health and safety ninjas. I mean, they possess massive authority.
They really did.
They could enter any premises at any reasonable time, extract chemical samples right on the spot, and seize entire appliances or ledgers if they suspected a violation.
And that kind of power obviously raises a huge question.
Right. If an inspector can just walk in and seize your inventory, what protects an average shop owner? Say you buy a sealed crate of cleaning solvent for your hardware store, and it's genuinely mislabeled by the manufacturer.
An honest mistake.
Yeah. But the inspector tests it, discovers it's actually a restricted Group I toxic chemical. Are you, the local shopkeeper, entirely liable and facing jail time for a chemical makeup you couldn't possibly have known about?
Well, you'd think the liability would just stop at the shopkeeper, but the lawmakers actually anticipated that exact trap.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, they built a special defenses section into the text. It uses a system of written warranties. The warranty functions basically like a legal firewall.
Wait, how does a warranty act like a firewall?
So, if an employer can produce a valid written warranty from a supplier residing inside the Republic, proving they sold the solvent in the exact condition they acquired it, they can dodge the conviction.
Oh, wow. So the liability passes right through the shopkeeper and burns the original supplier instead.
Exactly. The underlying insight here is that the government knew it didn't have the resources or, the manpower to test every product in every single shop. So they effectively weaponized the supply chain against itself.
That is brilliant. Retailers became the first line of
Yeah.
defense.
Right, they had to demand warranties from their suppliers just to protect themselves from prosecution.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. If the entire enforcement system relies on that piece of paper, a supplier falsifying a warranty isn't just lying to a shopkeeper,
No, they're undermining the entire architecture of the act.
which completely explains why the penalties are so aggressive. Falsifying a warranty or even just obstructing one of those inspectors from doing their job scales up incredibly
It
fast.
gets severe pretty quickly.
Yeah, by the time someone hits a third conviction, the law hits them with a 2,000 rand fine or 24 months in prison.
Which is huge. And this raises an important question. Controlling hazardous materials isn't just about understanding chemistry or radiation. It's about establishing airtight legal chains of custody and liability.
Making sure someone is always on the hook.
Exactly. But it forces you to look at the severe trade-off at the heart of public safety. To protect society from hidden hazards, the state granted itself sweeping search powers that let them walk right through a citizen's front door.
So, what does this all mean for you? You might never read a 1973 legal statute, but invisible frameworks exactly like this one are operating right now, to keep your daily physical environment safe from unseen threats.
Absolutely. They're everywhere.
Which leaves us with this thought to ponder. If a physical law from 1973 had to be this meticulously structured to categorize chemicals and electronic radiation, how will future legal frameworks successfully categorize and contain the invisible abstract hazards of our modern digital era?